Okay, we're going to start lesson number 6 in our series on how to spoil the devil's plan for your life. And we're going to cover the third part of Know the Power of Words. Know the Power of Words, part 3. We'll open our Bibles right now to Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Every time I read this scripture, it just hits me once again how powerful this is. It's powerful for several reasons. One reason is that Jesus had an example for them that they could see with their own eyes first, the power of words. He grabbed their attention by speaking to a fig tree, and then the fig tree, he says, let there be no fruit hereafter on thee forever. And when that happened, the fig tree dried up from the roots, and they were surprised to see it. And Jesus used that event to teach them a lesson about words. And then he said, have the kind of faith that God has, verse 22, or have the faith of God, or the kind of faith God has. Now listen to what he said. This is our law of words. I want to read it one more time so that we get this. Now listen to what Jesus said. He's inviting them to have the same kind of faith that he had when he spoke to the fig tree and it shriveled up from the roots. That's an amazing thing. He said, you can have this kind of faith too. Here's how you do it. Here's what you do. Whosoever shall say unto, and there must have been a mountain out there, he says, this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. The two main things we want to get there is, number one, if you speak to something and command it to change, it's like whatever problem in your life or whatever, and you don't doubt in your heart that what you speak will come to pass, you'll have it. That's what Jesus is saying. Now, the whole kicker in here is what? Anybody can say it, right? That's not so hard, is it? Anybody can speak to a mountain and say, mountain, move. The trick is having the faith in your heart to do it. All right? Now, the thing that's really important to know is that everything in your life that you need to have removed from your life or changed in your life, you can find a scripture that, when heard, will give the faith to do the job. Because then all you have to do is speak it. The trick is getting the faith. But God, in His mercy, even provided us with a book called the Bible that's filled full of faith-producing words. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You know, a lot of people don't understand, and this is important to understand, the purpose of the Bible is not to give us a history book. It's to produce faith in our hearts. The Bible is a faith producer. That's its purpose. God, who spoke the world into existence by having faith in His heart, and speaking out that faith in words caused this universe to spring into existence, gave us a whole book full of words that could produce faith in our hearts that, when spoken, would change the events in our lives any way we choose. But since this law is universal, it not only works with the Word of God, it also works with the words of the world. Words of the world will also produce faith. There's something about the human heart and words that, when we hear words, they produce faith. It's just like a little child when he's growing up. If mommy and daddy repeat something over and over to him, that little child believes that. He has no other source of knowledge, and it's not hard for him to believe. So it's not hard to understand how that hearing words can produce faith. The trick is hearing the right words. When you see the Bible for what it is, it's a faith producer, given to produce faith in the things that God wants us to have in our lives. You want healing? Read the faith-producing scriptures on healing. You want prosperity? Read the faith-producing scriptures on prosperity. Because then, once the faith is produced in your heart, you begin to speak that into your life and it'll come to pass. Too many people are speaking things they don't believe and it never happens. And that's why it's given this a bad reputation, where people say, well, that's just a name it and claim it bunch, you know. I've heard that people call what I'm trying to teach on that. It's not that at all. I asked God about that one time. What about this, Lord? Because our group was called the Name It and Claim It group, or a place we were. And he says, you tell them that anything that I name, they can claim. That naming and claiming works. Whatever he named, whatever he promised in his word, produces faith in your heart, and when you speak that into your life, it will come to pass. This is a law. Think about this. Pretend like you never heard this before, and you're a little child, and your parent comes to you with the word of God, in this case it's the word of God, but just says to a child, honey, I want to tell you something about life, and they're just old enough to understand it. Whatever you believe in your heart and you speak with your mouth will come to pass. Now, here's some things you can believe. Number one, believe that I love you. Number two, whatever you want to teach that child. Now, honey, these words that I've told you, and you tell them several days in a row, this is the way it is. This is some things that are true. You say these, honey, and they'll come to pass. They will. The trouble we have is that we've heard so much stuff in our lives and so many conflicting things that sometimes our spirits are a little bit confused because it's got mutually contradicting things in there. That's why we need to get into God's Word and let it have at least equal time with the world if we're going to be successful. Because most Christians even do not give the Word of God equal time with the world's Word, and they don't get much victory in their lives. And that's really the problem. So here's our law of words. Whatever we say with our mouth and believe in our heart shall come to pass. All right. Now, we need to know the law of words. Now turn to James chapter 3, and we're going to see the law of words stated in a way maybe you never heard it before. It's a shows the other side to this law, shows the trouble that we can get into with this law. Even though God meant it for good, if we don't watch it, we can get in trouble. Now I'm going to read this one. James chapter 3, verse 1. It says, my brethren, let not many of you be teachers, knowing that they shall receive the greater judgment. In other words, don't many of you set out to be teachers, because you have influence over a lot of people and you'll be judged accordingly. For in many things we all offend. If any man does not offend in what he says, the same is a perfect man or a mature man, and he's able to control his whole body. Now there, you could just teach on that scripture right there. Look at what it says. It says, if any man or any woman doesn't offend or say the wrong thing, in other words, in words, that same person that says doesn't offend in what he says is a mature person. And he will be able to control or take control of his whole body. That makes sense. If you watch what you say and you understand the power of words and you understand some promises in here about your own body, you can speak the right words and control your own body. That's what this is saying here. The tongue of the wise is health or healing. Say healing words about your body and you'll have a healed body. First, you have to believe it in your heart, and that means meditating on the scriptures that promise a healed body, such as that by Jesus' stripes you were healed. When Jesus went to the cross, he not only took your sins, he took your sicknesses too. That's why when we celebrate Holy Communion, we don't just take the grape juice, we also take the bread. The bread signifies Jesus' body broken for our healing. That's the other side of your redemption. Now let's go on, verse 3. Behold, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. In other words, a very small thing can affect a very big thing, is the point here. A tiny little bit in the mouth of a horse can turn that whole big horse. A few ounces on his mouth will turn his whole body. That's what it's trying to say. Little thing can have a great effect. Next verse, same thing. Behold also big ships, which though they be so great and driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small rudder, wherever the captain of the ship wants it to go. Here again, a very big thing, a ship, is controlled by a very little thing, a rudder, and you can make it go wherever you want. He's building up to something here, the Holy Spirit is. And he says, even so the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Then he says, behold, how great a matter a little tiny fire can kindle. In other words, we've all seen a little fire in your fireplace or something, just a little tiny flame. Pretty soon you got a roaring fire. Or a tiny little flame in a forest that's dry can cause the whole forest to flame up. a very little thing can have a very great effect, is the point of these verses here. So we get to the point in verse 6, and he says, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity or sin. So also is the tongue among our bodily members. A little tiny part of our body has a big effect on our lives, is what he's saying here. I'll start over verse 6. The tongue is a fire, is like a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defiles our whole body. That little tongue can affect your whole body. Now listen else what it says. And it sets on fire the course of events in your life. You know, King James says the course of nature. Look it up in the Greek concordance. There's a word for course. It says T-R-O-C-H-E-N. And it says the course of events in your life. What he's saying here is the tongue is just like the rudder of a ship. It's just like the spark that starts the fire. It's just like the bit in the big horse's mouth. It's a very small thing, but it can cause very great consequences, is what he's saying here. And he's saying, and then he tells you why. He says, because it sets on fire the course of nature or the course of events in your life. That's why the tongue's a little member and have great effects, because it starts events in your life. It's saying what the law of words really said, only a little differently. Here's the thing now. And it is set on fire by hell. Now, this verse started out, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. We're talking about the negative aspect of this thing now. Okay, it can go both ways. We talked about this. God wants us to use our tongue to create good events in our lives. But it's saying right here that this little tongue, just like a little rudder, just like a little bit, just like a spark that starts a great fire, can set on fire in your life great events. Okay? And it's really sad when it's set on fire by hell. Now what this means is Satan, since Jesus redeemed us and defeated the devil for us, we have all authority over him now. He has no more authority over us. We have the power inside of us, in the person of the Holy Spirit, and we have the authority to call on him anytime we want. We can rebuke the enemy in the name of Jesus. He has to flee. Resist the devil, and he shall flee because of the authority Jesus gave us. Now, that limits Satan's ability to mess in our lives tremendously, unless, and this is a big unless he can get us to use the power that God gave us for good to defeat us. So what does Satan do? He's got no power in the Christian's life anymore, legally that is, unless they don't know their rights and privileges. In that case, he'll come in and try to mess in your life. But for the Christian that knows where he stands, the only real weapon the enemy has left is if he can set on fire your tongue to say things that are not scriptural, so that you, with your own tongue, start events in your life that are his will for your life. That's why the title of our lesson is How to Spoil the Devil's Plan for Your Life. One way you spoil the devil's plan for your life is not to yield to these types of pronouncements with your tongue. Because it says right here, he'll try to set it on fire. He'll try to put his fire in your mouth. He'll try to get you to say words that will defeat you. He'll try to get you to take a weapon that God gave you for good to turn it against yourself, in other words. Why would he do that? Because he's got no real power over Christians anymore. Because Jesus defeated him for us. So what he does then, it's sort of like, let's say you have just a little scrawny guy here, just a little peewee guy that's got no real power. And you got this huge guy here with this knight, with this huge sword, and all this armor on, the armor of God. And this little guy here hasn't got a chance against you. So what he tries to get you to do is to take your own sword and start stabbing yourself. Because he doesn't have any power anymore. But if he could get you to use your own weapon against yourself, he doesn't have to have any power, does he? And that's what he tries to do by setting on fire the words of your mouth. In other words, giving you words to say that aren't scriptural. Everybody follow that? And I'll tell you how he does it. You say, well, I haven't heard the enemy speak to you, me lately. Well, he does it through other ways too, TV. I mean, if you watch enough TV, you're going to see enough junk that you're going to be able to begin to believe some of that junk. You're going to be able to say some of that junk with your mouth. And when you start putting that in out of your mouth and you start believing it, guess what? He's done exactly what he wanted. He doesn't have to just speak it into your ear. He can use the world, which he's the god of, right? Satan is the little g god of this world, the Bible tells us. That simply means he's here. And he rules over non-Christians, not over Christians. But the sad part of it is that a lot of Christians, not knowing the authority that they possess in Christ, let the devil run up one side of them and down the other because they don't resist him. And another way they do it is they keep stabbing themselves with their own tongue. And that's what Satan wants Christians to do. But we don't have to. I'm here tonight to tell you this is the choice that we have. And I'm going to show you how tonight. Verse 7, for every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and has been tamed by man. Okay? But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Now that doesn't sound like good news, does it? So here we got a problem. Number one, Mark 11:23 says our tongue has the power to damage or to improve our life. But James says, but it's impossible to control our tongue. We got a problem. What are we going to do? Well, I'm going to show you what to do tonight. And if you'll do what I tell you to do tonight, you'll have no problem with this. And I'll show you why in a minute. God is not going to leave us helpless in this matter. The tongue can no one man tame, but, listen up, I'll show you what we can do. What can we do then? Before we attempt to answer this, let's review some things that we know about words. Number one, we learned this, and I'm just going to use this as a little bit of review so that, because what I'm going to say builds on this, and you need to understand this, so listen carefully. Number one, by according to Mark chapter 4, verse 14 through 24, which is the parable of the sower, which we covered in some detail a few weeks ago, words you hear and receive go into your heart. All right? In other words, what it's like is you load a gun. Now think about this, and I'll explain a little bit more. Words you hear and receive go into your heart. They're like seed. All right? So what you've done is you've sown seed into your heart by something you've heard or read. Everybody understands that because we've covered this. That's rule number one. Rule number two, words you hear, heard words, grow in your heart to produce faith. That's the second thing we learned. You hear words, and they start to grow in your heart. When they do grow in your heart, they produce a fruit in your heart called faith. Faith cometh by hearing with the word of God. This would be akin to the first thing, when you get the seed in your heart, it's like loading a gun. The second thing is when you develop the fruit in your heart that the seed produces, it's called faith, you've just taken the safety off the gun. That's what it amounts to. See, the first time you have a gun, but you've got seed in your heart. You hear something, good or bad, that's seed in your heart. Everybody understands that, right? Now, if you hear it and hear it and get to the point where you develop faith in that thing, now it's dangerous. It's like taking the safety off the gun, because up to then, if you said anything, it wouldn't do any damage. Why? Because the safety's still on. In other words, you don't believe it yet. You haven't got the faith in it yet. You've heard some words, but they haven't produced the faith yet. And so you say something, but you don't believe it. Nothing comes to pass. But when you hear the words, and after a while you hear them again, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, you develop faith in those words, and now it's just like taking the safety off the gun. Now it's ready to fire. Because what you say with your mouth now, you believe in your heart, and now it will come to pass in your life. You understand how it's like the safety? Because up until now, if you don't believe it and you say it, it doesn't have the power to produce events in your life because you don't believe it yet. And by the law of words, it still won't work. But as soon as you believe it, you cock the gun. The safety's off. It's ready to fire. So when you hear words, they are going to produce faith because heard words are seeds. And when you hear them a couple times, it produces faith. And it's like having a loaded gun. Now, number three, words, by the law of words, words you believe and speak will come to pass. That fires the gun. You see what it is? It's just like a gun. First, you load the gun with the words you hear. Second, you cock the gun by developing faith in what you heard. Thirdly, you fire the gun by speaking those words, those believed words. And when you fire that seed into your life, it's going to produce events in your life. All right? Now, that's the way it works. Now, question for you. Use your brains here. What is the only way we can control the firing of that seed gun that fires the seed into our lives, in our mouth, so that it starts a good event in our lives? Think I'll ask you this again. What is the only way we can control the firing of that gun in our mouth so that it starts a good event in our life? Would it be not to load the gun in the beginning? To load the gun with good seed? To leave the safety on the gun? Or not to shoot the gun? What would be the best way to do this? Well, let's just eliminate these one by one, okay? Scripturally. Because our objective is everybody with me? Our objective is to find a way to get around what it said in James 3, 1 through 8, that it's impossible to control our tongue. We're trying to figure out a way that we can control the things we say, even though it says it's impossible to control our tongue. We're trying to say, well, God wouldn't give us the law of words and then say, it's impossible to control. There must be something we don't quite understand here. And then I've given you the analogy of a gun. Okay? Bullets are the seed in your heart. The safety goes off when you get the faith, and you fire the gun when you speak. And that causes events in your life. So, what's the best thing to do? Let's eliminate it one by one. Can we just not load the gun in the first place? No. Because you're going to hear something and read something in your life, and that's going to load your gun. Every time you hear something or read something, it's going to load your gun. It's like seed. You understand that? You can't. That's not a viable solution to it. We can't help but load our gun because we're going to hear things and read things. Okay, well, we'll give up on that. Let's try another one. What if we just leave the safety on our gun all the time? We don't believe what we hear. Well, that's not going to work because by Romans 10, 17, faith comes by hearing. And if we hear these things more than a few times, it says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. There's two hearings in there to go read Romans 10, 17. So once you've heard the same thing a few times, you develop faith in that thing, okay? So we can't help but take the safety off. We're almost like a man that's can't help it. He's loading the gun. I don't want to load it, but I have to because I hear things. I see things. Well, I just leave the safety on. I've heard it so many times, I believe it now. The safety just, I didn't want this, but the safety's off now. I mean, it's almost like we're out of control here. And that's what it meant up here in James. It's impossible for us to control the tongue. Well, let's try another one here. How about maybe we got a loaded gun and maybe the safety's off, but we just won't, we refuse to pull the trigger. How's that sound? Well, open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians 4:13. We'll see if this is going to work. Maybe this is a solution for us. 2 Corinthians 4:13. I'll tell you what, we saw that we can't help but load the gun, we can't take the safety off, but we just won't speak these words. 2 Corinthians 4:13. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. That means once you believe it, you're hooked. You can't help but speak it. Well, that isn't going to work either then. We're in a mess, aren't we? In fact, James 3:8 said that. It's impossible to control our tongue. See, once it's loaded, once the safety's off, we thought maybe we could just not say it. But according to this, we believe and therefore we're going to speak. We don't have any choice. And according to James 3:8, that's what he said too. He says, it's impossible to control our tongue. That means it's impossible to keep from speaking what's in our heart. So none of this works. We can't help but load the gun. We can't help but take the safety off. And we can't help but fire the gun. What are we going to do? Thank God, God gave us an answer. And it's in Matthew 12:34. Go there and you're going to see the answer. I'm reading this to you exactly the way the Lord gave me this lesson. I had a whole other thing planned, and it was like the Lord took me by the hand to show me how this all pulls together so that I can explain it to you. If you get this, you're going to be better than, well, not better, but you're going to know more than 95% of your brothers and sisters in Christ. And I don't mean to put them down, but I'm just saying people just don't know this, and it's killing them, literally. All right, Matthew 12:34. Let's see, verse 34. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. Oh, you generation! Well, let's go back a couple of verses. We're talking about saying things against the Holy Ghost. Verse 32. Whoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whosoever speaks against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world or the world to come. Either make the tree good and his fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by his fruit. What he's saying is, once the type of tree is chosen, it produces a certain type of fruit, and there's nothing you can do about it. Okay? That's what he's saying. So he's saying, if you're going to make the tree good, you got to plant a good tree. From the very beginning, you got to plant the right seed. All right? Because if you plant the wrong kind of seed, you don't have a choice after that matter what kind of fruit it bears, right? If you plant corn, you're going to get corn. Make sure that you plant the type of seed, Jesus is saying, that you want the tree to produce. That's what he's saying. For the tree is known by its fruit. That means if you have bad events cropping up in your life, you planted bad seed to begin with. That's all that means. It goes clear back to the seed. Once the seed is sown, you can't change the course of events, is what this is saying. Once the seed is sown, it's loaded. Once you believe it, and you will believe it when you hear it a few times, the gun is cocked. And once that gun is cocked, you're eventually going to fire it because we say the things that we believe. The only thing we can do, and this is important to understand this, is replant the tree. Plant the right type of tree to begin with, and it will produce the right kind of fruit. It'll be loaded with the right kind of bullets, that when it fires, it's okay because it's going to produce good events. Now listen, verse 34, he nails it down. Oh, you generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? There's the key right there. He's saying, you people that are evil have evil in your heart, and you can't help but speak evil things. Now listen to this. This is where it is. For out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. You want to control the type of bullets you shoot out of your gun of your mouth? Then put the right kind of seed in the first place. That's the only thing we have any power over. Once that seed is sown, you're committed. You understand what I'm saying? Once you've heard something, you're committed. You've loaded that gun. You hear it again. The safety's off. Then you're going to speak it out of the abundance of our heart. Our mouth speaks. You know? That's what we just read. You're going to speak whatever's in your heart. You have no choice. So it doesn't do any good to try to not say it, because you're eventually going to say it. It doesn't do any good to try not to believe it, because you're going to believe what you heard. The only thing we have control over is what we hear. If you hear the right things, you hear the Word of God, you're going to believe the Word of God. Then when you believe the Word of God, you're going to speak God's Word, things consistent with His Word, a good report, and then good events will happen in your life. You hear the world's word, you're going to believe the world's word, then you're going to speak the world's word, and you're going to have world events happen in your life. It's up to us. But the only way, that's why James says it's impossible for us to control our tongue. He meant once you have something in your heart, from that point on, you can't control your tongue, is what he really meant to say. You understand what he's saying there? Once it's in your heart, you have no control. So therefore, and this is the strong point I want to get across tonight, the way to control what you say is by what you hear and what you read. That's the only way to control what happens in your life. I can't say that too strongly. You don't have a choice. A person cannot just all of a sudden say, I'm just going to start saying good things about things. You can't. That's what James is saying here. It's impossible to control the tongue. You cannot. I've tried this. Just make up your mind without the Bible to say good things in your life. You can't, because whatever's in your heart is going to come out of your mouth. Right here, out of the abundance of what's in your heart, your mouth will speak. You have no choice. What will come out of your mouth is what you believe. And what you believe is what you've heard up to now. That's why it's so important to limit the outside words that you hear and the outside words that you read that aren't in line with the Word of God. That's an evil report. That's what happened to the Israelites. They heard God's word, and they heard 10 of the 12 spies' word. They chose to believe 10 of the 12 instead of the other two, Joshua and Caleb. And because they let that word in their heart, they developed faith in that word, and then they begin to speak those words. We would rather die right here in the desert than take a chance in the promised land. And what happened? They died right there in the desert. Because they, see, once the cycle started, you can't change it. They heard the 10 spies. They believed, they developed faith in what the 10 spies said, and because they believe what the 10 spies said and said it with their mouth, what? It comes to pass. Now, here's Joshua and Caleb. They didn't go along with it. They didn't believe what the 10 spies said. They saw the same things they saw with their eyes, but they kept their eyes on what God's word said. And they said, we're well able to take the land. Doesn't matter how big these guys are. What matters is what God said he'd do for us. They kept focused on that. They kept their faith in that. And because they had their faith in that, that's what they said. And because they said that, it produced events in their lives that changed their life. They went in to the promised land. The only two out of several million people over the age of 20, only two of those several million people went in, and they just happened to be the two that said what God's word said and kept the faith in what he said in their hearts and spoke that with their mouths. They produced an event in their lives. But the rest of the whole crowd believed the 10. They took that as their truth, believed that, began to speak that, and that's what they got. And that's what you're going to get. That's what I'm going to get. That's why it's so important to place yourself in a position to hear God's word. Okay, so now we see the solution. To control the type of crop that's going to grow in your life, you must first control the type of seed you place in your heart. Now, how do we then take control of these events in our lives? What can I do? All right, turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, and we'll show exactly what you do. You got to do three things. Number one, well, let me just read the scriptures, then I'll show you what they are. Verse 20 says, my son, attend to my words. What does attend mean?
It means to pay attention.
Pay attention to. Very good. Give it, make it your first priority. God is saying, my son, pay attention. Make it your first priority. Make my words your first priority. Pay attention to my words. Hear what God's saying? Pay attention to my words. Why, Lord? How do I do that? Well, here's the way you do it, he's saying to us. Incline your ear into what I'm saying. In other words, we have to do something there, don't we? We have to actually make time to hear God's word. That's his words, right? We have, like you're doing tonight, you have to make time in your day to give God at least equal time in your life so he can produce good seed for your heart, so you'll believe good things and produce good faith, faith in good things, and so you'll speak things consistent with God's word, not an evil report, but a good report, and have the good things God wants to happen in your life. That's what God wants. And to do that, you're going to have to, as Madge says, pay attention to his words. And then he tells you how to do it. First of all, be careful that you give time to listen to my word. Secondly, don't let my word depart from your eyes. That means get into his word every day. Read it every single day. Because you're going to read other things that are going to contradict God's word. And you need to have it fresh in your mind. So you say, that's not true. Otherwise, you're going to go, well, you know, this is 2005. You know, I'm a modern person. Things change. You know, that's the devil's subtlety. Things have changed. There's no bottom line. Okay. Number three, let them not depart from your eyes. Number three, keep them in the midst of your heart. The first two things tell you how to get them in your heart. You get them in your heart by inclining your ear into his words and by letting them not depart from your eyes. Reading, like Karen said earlier, by what you hear and by what you read. All right? Then, when you get them in there, keep them in there. How do you keep them in there? By limiting access to other words. Because if you listen, even though you read God's word once in a while, if you hear the world's word more and more, it will gradually displace God's word in your life. There's not room for both beliefs in there. Did you know that? You can't believe two mutually contradictory things at the same time. You understand what I'm saying by that? If God's word says that if you tithe, God's promise to open the windows of heaven and pour out such a blessing, you might have room to receive it. And the world's word says the way to receive more finances is to work more overtime, do everything yourself. In other words, not apply God's word to it. Just work more, be away from home more, away from the family more, work Sundays, work Saturdays, whatever. See, you've got to decide. If you let both those words in there and you let one more than one in the other, it'll displace God's word because they're what? Mutually contradictory. You can't believe two mutually contradictory things at the same time. Right. You can't answer to two masters at once. That's a very good way to say it. You're going to choose one or the other. Okay? That's very good. Jesus said that, didn't he? Mm-hmm. He says you can't serve two masters. You choose one or the other. You can't serve God and mammon. That was a good example. God and mammon. That's what Jesus was talking about. God says, tithe, and I'll take care of you. Just keep your, you know, and when you begin to see that God's word says that, you begin to say those things, and God can then work in your life that way. Okay, so here's what it's telling us to do. For if you do this, you keep them in the midst of your heart, they'll be life unto you, and health to all your flesh. In other words, you it's preventive medicine. It'll be divine health for you. You wouldn't even have to worry about getting healed if you're speaking healing words all the time. The tongue of the wise is health. Then it says in verse 23, a warning, and this is something I want you to hear. Keep your heart with all diligence. Now listen, for out of it are the issues of life. Because we've had these teachings, you can understand what this verse means now that a lot of people don't understand. How do you keep your heart without all diligence? By limiting what you let in there. And by limiting what you put in there, the reason you limit what you put in there is because of out of your heart. What is out of your heart? Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. So what he's saying here is, keep your heart. Be careful what you allow in your heart, for out of it, the words that you speak, out of the abundance of your heart, control the issues of your life. That's what this says here. We're putting it all together now, so you can see what Proverbs 4:23 means. It's very powerful. Keep your heart with all diligence. Be careful what you allow in your heart. Words seen, words read, words heard. Be careful. Because, he even tells you why, out of your heart will come words that will control the issues of your life. Therefore, put away from you a froward mouth. So the King James says, means a perverse mouth. It means a mouth that gives a report contrary to God's word. See, we're talking about the mouth here all of a sudden. We could have told that without even reason, verse 24, because we know now from what we know that when we keep our heart and control what goes in there, that what comes out of it, words, will be issues that will control our life and give us life. Therefore, put away from you a perverse or mouth that gives out word contradictory to God's word, and perverse lips put far from thee. So that's the scriptures that will help us. Number one, then you must do three things. Number one, make time for God's word. And number two, hear right things. Don't just turn on any junky TV program to keep you company during the day. Soap operas really are not good. I don't know, I don't want to tromp anybody's toes, but on the other hand, largely it's infidelity, it's, you know, whatever you can get away with, it's okay. As long as somebody doesn't know about it, it's going to be okay. Everything, you know, if somebody does something rotten to you, get even. When God's word says, do not return evil for evil. You see the war right there? If you let it enough word that says, if someone does something rotten to you, the first thing you need to do is get even. You've just lost God's word, because God's word says, don't return evil for evil. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. See, and people, even Christians, good meaning Christians, are hearing the wrong words, loading their gun with the wrong ammunition, and then they begin to believe it after a while. Well, everybody does it. Who doesn't? You know, I've heard Christian businessmen say, they do something dishonest. And I said, you know, that's not what God's word said. And they said, this is business. Like somehow there's a division somehow there. Well, this is business, Mike. Yeah, well, God
that's
told me.
That's a division of state and religion.
Yeah, the same thing, right. See, we got to be careful. Because I've heard even Christians say, you know, I'm going to even with them. They thought they put something over on me, but I'm getting even. Not knowing that they're just nailing themselves in a coffin when they do that. It's not the other person they're hurting. It's themselves. They're taking their own sword, and Satan's laughing in the corners as they begin to stab themselves all over the place with their own sword. Yeah, it's a shame. Okay, those are two things. Number three, turn to Proverbs chapter 6. That's just next page. And we'll finish on this. Finish a little early tonight, but that's okay. Proverbs 6. Verse 2. I'll start with verse 1. It says, my son, if you are surety, or means responsible for thy friend, if you have shaken hands with a stranger, in other words, given your word on something you shouldn't have done, you are snared with the words of your mouth. You are taken with the words of your mouth. In other words, you just set a snare for yourself. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When you are come into the hand of your friend, go humble yourself and make sure thy friend. Give not sleep to thine eyes, nor slumber to thine eyelids. That means if you make a mistake with what you say, get it straightened out quickly. Is basically what this is saying. Don't even give sleep to your eyes. Don't even wait till tomorrow. Now, what do we mean here for a Christian? If we say damaging words, and we all do occasionally, then go before your heavenly Father. In other words, root up the seed before it has a chance to sprout. Dig it up. If you hear yourself say something and you go, oh my goodness, and ask the Lord to make you sensitive so that you know when you say things that are damaging to your life. And when you get that little check in your spirit, say, Father, I'm sorry. I repent of saying that. That isn't according to your word. I don't know where I picked that up, but I'm sorry and I ask you to forgive me. You just take that seed that you've sown and you just jerk it right out of the ground before it can grow and create an event in your life. So it's important to know that. Because God gives us a way out when we goof up, and we all goof up once in a while. So, I'll just sum up by saying this. Words can get us into trouble. So it takes words to get us out of trouble. Why don't we all start fresh and repent of every idle word? Remember Jesus said, every idle word that you say will be judged against you at the final judgment. Every idle word. That means it's not been taken care of. And every evil report we've made to date. Want to do that? Just start fresh tonight. I mean, if you'd rather go home and do it yourself, but I recommend that if this, maybe you've already done this, but if this is the first time that you've ever thought this deeply about this, and you want to start fresh with God, it's a good idea just to, we could just repeat a little prayer together if you want to. Want to do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight. In the name of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, in these lessons, we've learned about the power of words. We've learned that what we believe in our heart, and say with our mouth, will come to pass. We've learned that the way to control what we speak and what we believe is by controlling what we hear. Father, up to now, we have said some words that were not in line with your word. Father, we repent and ask your forgiveness for every idle word and every evil report that wasn't consistent with your word, that contradicted your word, that we've said with our mouths. We ask your forgiveness. And we accept your forgiveness. And we start fresh today, Father. To say new words. Because we're going to hear new words. Then we're going to believe new words. And these new words are going to be based upon your words. And they'll produce good events in our lives. Thank you for showing us the power of words, Father. We promise to try to apply this principle to our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. And we say, Amen. Okay, that completes the teaching I had for tonight. Let's go on now and take a look at the homework and see how much of the teaching we've retained.
All right.
Give us the program here. Come on, let's have it roll. We're rolling.
Okay. Let's see. Homework number 6. Last week's lesson, we're still on the series of How to Spoil the Devil's Plan for Your Life. And we're doing a pretty good job, I think. And we had our final lesson on knowing the power of words last week. And so let's go over our homework then. Okay, here's the first question on our homework for knowing the power of words. The law of words, true or false, the law of words says that whatever I believe in my heart and hear with my ears will come to pass, true or false?
No, you got to say it.
There you go. Yeah. You got to say it. It's not, hearing is important, but
everybody's
that's not what the law of words
that's
says.
An answer.
It's a what?
It's an F, or fancy F, maybe.
Yeah.
Law of words says that whatever I believe in my heart and what?
Say with my mouth
will come to pass. That's Mark 11:23. Good. I didn't catch you on that one. Maybe the next one. If we will control our words, we will control our body. True or false? And then I gave you a couple of scriptures to look up.
If we will control our words,
we will control our body.
I think that's true.
You're right. Good for you. James 3:2 says that the tongue has the power to control our body. Okay. Just as the little rudder steers a great ship, and just as a bit turns a great horse, so too the tongue is a little thing, but it can control our whole body, it says. And Proverbs 12:18 says, the tongue of the wise is health. Why? Because it has the ability to control our body. The tongue does. Everybody get that? Okay. Name 3 very small things that control 3 much larger things, based on James chapter 3, where we talked about last week. What's a very small thing that control a much larger thing? Name one of them.
Well, a bit in a horse's mouth.
A bit in a horse's mouth. A horse is a lot bigger than a bit, isn't it? And it controls him pretty well. Okay, a bit. That's good.
Running on a ship. Horses get his work around until he got it under his tongue.
Yeah, and then they're a little harder to control, aren't they? And what'd you say, Karen?
A rudder on a ship.
A rudder on a ship is another very small thing. And the tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. The blank is a very small thing that can start big blanks in our lives. Okay? Fill in the blanks for me. What's a very small thing that can start a big thing?
A tongue.
The tongue is a very small thing that can start a big
event.
Good. In our lives. Good for you. You're really getting this. The tongue cannot be tamed by man. True or false? And I gave you a reference to look up.
False. Or true, I mean.
True, good. true. The tongue cannot be tamed by man, and understood in that is given the contents of the heart. In other words, once your heart is set, once you've got things in there, you can't control your tongue. So whatever you have in your heart will come out your mouth. All right, good. I'm glad you got that one. Good. What the tongue says is controlled by words we have placed in our heart, true or false? That is true. Good job. Out of the abundance of what's in my heart, my blank blank. Sounds like that dog is really enjoying that water out there.
Mouth speaks.
Out of the abundance of what's in my heart, what? My
mouth speaks.
Right. Matthew 12:34. Good, Marianne. Good. Therefore, to control what comes out of my mouth, I must first control what goes in my blank blank.
My heart.
Good. Well, you got all these right so far. When the walls fell down for Joshua, was it because of the loud noise of a ram's horn or trumpets or noise from men's lips?
It was faith.
Yeah, it was obedience to God.
Yeah.
It wasn't really because of any of the others.
Yeah.
It was what did you say, Madge?
It was his faith in what
right.
The Lord's word.
Yeah.
It was faith in what God said, right. And what did God finally tell him to do to make those walls come down? What
Shout
was it?
Loud.
Shout loud. So in that sense, it was noise from men's lips, but it wouldn't have happened if they'd have just gone out there and shouted on their own, would it?
I said what they said. But I mean,
what they said, that's good. But it worked because of what God said first, right? And they heard that, believed it, and you got it right, Karen, so don't make any changes there.
I just wrote, and faith.
And faith, good, okay. So it was noise from men's lips, but it was based on faith in what they heard from God in His Word. Okay, so that's the answer to that. When the woman with the issue of blood was healed, was it because of words she said or words she heard?
Of words that she heard in her and the faith in her heart. I
said words she said and believed.
There you go.
Well, that's what I
both. You got them. All three of you got that right. That's great. I thought that was kind of tricky. I thought, you know, they'll choose one or the other, but it was both. It was
well,
first.
I went back and read the scripture.
Yeah. Said she heard. That's cheating.
I went back and read too, but I couldn't remember what I'd read. I wouldn't anymore and get it read until I'd have to go back and read again. I've had a difficult week.
Oh, boy. Well, you guys got it right because first it said she heard about Jesus, and then she said it with her mouth if she would just touch but the hem of his garment, she'd be healed, and she acted on what she said, and she was healed. So, good job. The way to believe something good is to blank something good. The way to believe something good is to what something good?
Say it. I heard hear and say it.
Hear.
The way to believe, though, how does faith come to believe?
Hearing.
By hearing. Hearing. So the way to believe something good is to hear something good. All right? So... All right, the next question then. The way to believe something good is to blank some, or the way to believe something true is to blank something true.
Hear.
The same way. Always the way to believe is to hear. If you want to believe something good, hear something good. You want to believe something true, hear something true. God has provided us with something that is always blank and always blank that we can blank. It's called the blank, blank, blank.
Couldn't remember that. All right. It's a love of God for something or other, and I can't remember what.
Let's go through it one at a time. It'll be easier. God has provided us with something that is always
good.
G. I gave you a little G there to hint good. See, I'm just talking about good up above. And always T, true, because I was just talking about true. God has provided us with something that's always good and always true that we can H, what?
Hear.
It, what is it? Something that's always good, something's always true that we can hear. It's called the
Word of God.
There you go. If you just take it one by one, you kind of work your way through it. James 3:6 says, the blank is like a blank and sets the whole course of our blank on fire. All right, let's go through it one at a time. James 3:6 says what? The blank is like a blank.
Tongue
is like a
fire
and sets the whole
life.
Course of our life on fire. Good. That's why it's like a fire, because it's like a little spark, but your tongue is a little thing, but that little spark that you say with your mouth can start great events in your life. We talked about that. To take control of the events in our life, we must blank, blank, to hear the blank things. And it was taken right from your outline. So, to take control of the events, Scarlett, we must...
Take time.
Take time.
To hear the right things.
To hear the right things. Good, Karen. Well, you're getting them all right. All right, here's some bonus questions. They're usually a little bit harder. And sometimes I don't give you as many hints. If I say something I regret, I should blank up the seed before it blank.
Blank up the seed.
I said pull it up.
Pull up the seed or root up the seed, either one, before it what?
Sprouts.
Sprouts. Grows. Whatever. In other words, if you say something you regret, that's a little seed, isn't it, that's been sown, and it's going to start growing in your life. So if you realize that you said something you regret, root it up before it sprouts. Now, how do we do this? I can do this by blank of what I said and asking blank to God to blank me.
By repenting?
By repenting of what I said and asking God to
forgive me.
Good job. That's a good one to know because if you leave that out, everybody just feels, you know, boy, my tongue is really important. What I say is important because it can start events in my life. What if I've said some things? Well, repent of them, get it straightened out, and go on from there. Okay, bonus question number two. What's wrong with this plan? I'll listen to and read whatever I want, but I'll be very careful with what I say. In other words, what's wrong with having a plan like that? I know some people that have a plan like that.
Listen to,
you need to be careful what you listen to and what you
write. And what you hear, too.
Out of the heart's mouth speaks.
Yeah.
So you have really no choice to depend.
Right. That's what I'm after there. Listen to what Marianne said. Now, let's say a person says, well, you know, they've...
Yeah, Marianne, out of the heart, the mouth speaks. So right. What you put in, what's going to come out.
In other words, it says, I'll listen to and read whatever I want to. What's wrong with this? I'll listen to and read whatever I want to, but I'll be very careful with what I say. The problem with this is you can't do it. Because once you've heard something, it's in your heart. And the Word of God says, out of what's in your heart, you will speak.
Yeah.
There's gotta, you've got to speak something out of the inside of you. So you got to be very careful what you put in there. Now, that's the problem some people have. It, you know, say they listen to a teaching like we've had. And they say, well, you know, I hear what he's saying. But I think I can just still listen to old, whatever I want, watch whatever I want on TV and read whatever old magazines I want and stuff. And but I know that what I say is important. And I'm just going to continue to hear what I want and read what I want, but I'll watch what I say. They can't. They cannot do it because God's Word says you can't. Whatever you put in your heart, you're going to say. And that's why it's really easy, if you ever notice sometime, to locate people because people cannot control what they say. It's whatever's in their heart. And you can be in a religious setting and hear some appalling things simply because people have put the wrong things in their heart. They're good people. They're our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we love them, but you can just tell what they've been putting in their heart. I mean, they say things that I wouldn't say for anything based on what I've learned. They'll say things like, well, I know I'm just taking the flu. Every year at this time, I always get the flu. I know I'm going to get it this year, and you know, my allergies are going to act up. They always do this time of year, and, you know, and they're just speaking what's in their heart, and it's keeping them prisoner. Last question. Who said, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee? Who said that? You know that?
I don't know. I looked and looked and looked, David. And I still don't know.
David. David said that about Goliath.
That's right, he did. I couldn't think of a soul.
You know, that's
was going to take the head off of somebody.
Yeah. I probably should have given you a little hint. Those bonus questions can be hard sometimes. What's interesting about it, if you go back and read that account of David and Goliath, it's always given as a story for kids mostly and things, and it's very exciting. But go back and read what David said before he went to take on Goliath, and read what the rest of them said. They were shaking in their boots. Saul was a giant of a man. He was the king. He was shaking in his boots. No one of all his troops, his mighty men or anybody, would go out and fight with Goliath. And this little tiny stripling, David, comes along and says, I'll take his head from him. How dare he stand up to the army of the Lord God of hosts? He said, this day will the Lord deliver him into my hand, and I'll smite him and take his head right from him. And he did exactly what he said, because the law of words was in operation, which says that if you believe something in your heart and don't doubt, and say it, it will come to pass. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened for David. very interesting to go back and read that whole account. He not only said that, but he said a whole string of things all along there that all came true. So, okay, that completes our homework for lesson number 6 on knowing the power of words.